Why? I'm going to tell you what to do. Welcome, everybody, to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a, Thursday. See, I missed one day, and I don't know what day it is. Thursday, August the 26th, 2021. Your host, Sturch, Gooch on the couch, just doing his thing. And, of course, AJ, the production man over there in his own area. We'll figure this out. The sound wasn't working for about...
No one wants to see guy thighs when they wake up in the morning.
So we're here live at Chop Studios for this recording of the Chop Sports Podcast. We want to thank you guys for joining us live on Facebook, YouTube, my personal Facebook for all my friends and family out there. So how goes it without me yesterday? Everything okay? I mean, it was I listened to the show.
It was
good. I liked it. You guys are good. You guys have a nice little rapport. Not as good as me and Gooch, but, you know, it's good.
It was a rough morning for other reasons, but the show itself, I feel like it was better than the first show we did, me and AJ alone, because I just wasn't ready.
Oh, that was a Dave on a boat day. And Dave was dealing with AC day yesterday, and that was, when I tell you it's the most, look, it's worth every dime, all right? Because half of it was working last night, and, like, when I was in the kitchen, I was like, okay, look at that. Like, but, and then... you know, my room wasn't, so I had to use the wall unit for that. Everything will be finished today.
But now we got our internet hooked back up.
Here. Yes, the internet. Dude, first of all, great little investment, I would say, because that's what's needed. I mean, we need fast internet. It's definitely faster than what we had before because shared space savers or whatever their business, failed business is called, failed miserably on so many levels. And when that, when you, it was the best part was yesterday when you texted me, you're like, want the good news? No internet. And I was like,
well, I knew they were coming that day. But
yeah, no, I know. But like, for like,
it was a matter of not being able to do the live show because of it, though.
Right.
So that's what happened. We almost got me and AJ doing a live show together on YouTube, but gladly that didn't have to take place because I wasn't ready for that for sure.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to talk about. AJ did the rundown once again.
This is the first time I'm actually looking at the rundown.
Well, today. That's good. I mean, it's good to be prepared, you know? But yeah,
I figured I would take today off because it's the Dallas Cowboy Day, so I don't really have much to say.
We have reached the pinnacle of our previews. 32 teams in 32 days. I'm excited because it is day 20. 20? How many more divisions? Three. Right? So that's 4, 8, 12, that's 32. Yeah, day 20. Okay, I just want to make sure the math is right. Day 20 of 32 teams in 32 days. Today, we feature the beloved Dallas Cowboys, and I'm wearing my Dallas Cowboys media member t-shirt in honor of that. And, you know, not for nothing, that's not so much a joke. Like, it's not. Like, as much as it is a funny thing, like, I am technically, in Dallas Cowboys media with Blogging the Boys and that podcast network and what I used to write for the Cowboys Wire. So I'm not in Dallas. That sucks. And if I had my choice right now, I would uproot everybody and get the hell out of New Jersey because it sucks. But I will say that Dallas is the destination.
Don't slander the state.
I love New Jersey.
Love New Jersey, AJ?
How do you not?
What are you not guys kidding?
You
New
pay
Jersey.
Taxes here? Like,
I don't give a shit. You pay taxes.
You don't own a home right now, bro. That is ridiculous.
My point is, I don't give a shit. There's a 0% chance that I would ever move out of New Jersey.
But there's a 0% chance right now. But wait until you own a home. And
that's going to have zero bearing. All right, so if you move to Dallas and you're going to get paid like you live in Dallas as well.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Like, I'm just saying, like, if you land a good job in Dallas, the cost of living out there is ridiculously lower. And I'm not even talking about Dallas. Like, I don't even think I want to live in the city of Dallas. I would want to live in, like, Fort Worth or Arlington or somewhere else, like, not, like kind of rural, like Dallas, like, wear cowboy hats and shit. Like, that's my life. That's what I want to do.
Well, that's...
I wouldn't fit in at all.
Corniest piss. Thing I've ever heard in my life.
No. It's fun. Okay. Wait until you feel this one, okay? Because now that you just called me corny, my grandfather moved out there, and they called him the Jersey Cowboy, and he adapted that entire life. God rest his soul, Grandpa. I love you. So now do you feel like shit?
No.
I don't believe in any
of those things. There's zero reason to live in
Texas.
Well,
whoever you are, faceless user over there, I don't. You don't know. Like, obviously, you know
it's
what?
Not even I'm not like even I have anything against Texas. I love the state that I live in. Every time I go on vacation,
I love shoveling snow.
I would move. To
I love
Bay
the fact that I need to drive
Texas.
In this nonsense weather. I love 97.
I love being able to go to the Yankee game. I don't like the beach, but I like that my girlfriend could go to the beach whenever she wants. There's mountains, there's the city, there's Philly, there's AC. And there's high taxes. That's what comes with having everything. That's just the way it goes.
But the Jersey Shore has been ruined over the course of the last couple of years. Like, ruined. What? You can't go down there and enjoy yourself anymore. There are people that go to DJs and pump their fists and shit. But that's it's such a stressful situation to be at the Jersey Shore. That's why I don't do it.
Bro, I was in Lavalette a couple months ago.
Give me a shore house.
Shit was beautiful.
Give me a shore house and I'm all for it. Like, where I don't have to be around all the people. You know, because you go into one of those clubs, forget it. You hate it. It leaves a sour taste in your mouth. I went to DJs one time in 2011, right? I went there with my friend Lauren because I just got dumped, right? Or just broke up with my girlfriend at the time. And I went to the Jersey Shore and it was like DJs. And she's like, you'll have a good time. Let's cut loose, blah, blah, blah. I said, all right, cool. Badalado. You know, Lauren. So I go hang out with her and her friends. And I'm like, this is awful. I can't move. I'm a bigger dude. I can't move around. So, and it was the night that like Deanna or whoever she is.
Jersey Shore is high taxes and DJs. There's a billion places to go, bro. MJ's is aware. Down the street. MJ's is great.
MJ's is great. MJ's is great. I love MJ's. Even though Bane told us no. So, I'd rather go to McDonough's Pub, to be honest with you. Or Old Glory.
AJ's just sitting there like a fucking
I mean, there's got to be. We will figure out a way to get AJ.
I know AJ's vibe on this. He's a Jersey guy, too. No doubt. I heard his.
He went to school in Tampa.
Now, you know what?
No, Miami.
Let's put the Jersey versus Texas thing to rest. Jersey's better than Texas.
Okay. Yeah, just because you said so, we'll go with that.
And I want to comment on AJ's alter ego that I heard for the first time yesterday. I don't think he was ready for me to bring this up on the podcast.
What?
I'm so ready for it, honestly.
Am I about to be blown away?
What was the guy's name? If you haven't listened to his new podcast that we released yesterday because we didn't promote it yet.
I didn't promote it yet.
But AJ has an alter ego that I heard for the first time yesterday. What was his name?
Tony Capriccio.
Tony Capriccio.
Wait a minute. Is that part of like your podcast?
He's definitely not from fucking Texas, Dave.
No.
He's from Miami.
No. Tony Capriccio is from the slums of Brooklyn.
So I was going to say somewhere like Bayonne because guy? I was trying to give New Jersey credit, but then he says fucking Brooklyn.
That's where Tony Capriccio is from. I don't make up where he's from. He's from there. And he's not me also, by the way. That's a guy who comes in the studio at 8 a.m. and he records with us.
Fair point. So
anyway,
I'm not going to put him up to the bit unless he's willing to do it.
Let's not put him on the spot.
Here's what happened yesterday. He did his bit, and then he was yelling, and he got really animated.
And you were there right in front of him, so you probably looked at him like,
yeah,
what
I
is
was
this
sitting here, first
person?
Of all, I just ripped the bowl in the morning for like the second time in a month, right?
Yeah.
And I came in to record with AJ yesterday early, and I'm sitting there, I'm fucked up, I had my second coffee in front of me, and all of a sudden, he's like, all right, this is going to be... He got me ready in a sense, but it was really getting the listeners ready. And then all of a sudden, I hear just this loud, AJ, you want to do it?
Are you talking about
Wait. We gotta be mindful of yeah, well, let's do it later on when there's no.
He could do a little bit of it.
I'm just trying to be nice. And, you know, like I don't want to get mad.
Talk about a Tony Capriccio's lifelines? Okay, if you really want to hear more Tony Capriccio, listen to Fantasy
Guys.
How
about you listen to the Fantasy Guy podcast?
That's what you should have said the entire time. All right. Plug the Fantasy Guy.
So speaking of podcasts, Fantasy Guy podcast dropped yesterday. Well, is it on iTunes? It is on iTunes
already. It's on iTunes now, and I'm so happy.
Beautiful.
Chris is the man for that.
iTunes, Chris finessed that thing. He always does. He always has a way to make things work in the clutch. Love it. Then we also have the goddamn Jets. What's it today? Thursday. I'm sorry. Goddamn Jets released yesterday. I'm your football team. Till Mets do us part. If you're a Mets fan, I'm sorry, first and foremost. Second of all, go listen to Ibby and John Sabanero. They have good takes on the New York Metropolitans as they continue to struggle. What do you got on this rundown, AJ?
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw up looking at it.
It's all over the place.
Bad day. I can't wait.
You know what it is? There was not a lot of sports. The Yankees were off. Like, you know what I watched last night? Never mind.
I guess, honestly, we could breeze through the beginning of it because, to be completely honest, I think we kind of talked about this yesterday. The intro needs to eliminate the baseball talk, and we'll talk about that after the breakdown or after AJ's rundown.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So I never put that in there again. Right?
Sorry, keep going.
And then the rest of the stuff I guess we could talk about, but very briefly. And then we could talk mostly about Cam and Mac Jones situation.
Well,
and
I
then
do
the Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock.
We can circle around, but AJ, you showed me this note. What is this thing going on in Dodgerville? Because they went, how many innings last night? 16 innings last night.
I went 16
and that's a West Coast game. So what time did it end? There's the note. We're bringing it up. This is like your get out of school or get out of work note. Sincerely, the Dodgers. First of all, you're corny. So corny.
Such a cornball move. What does it say? All right.
Please excuse such and such for work, school today. By the way, it's August 26th, so if you're in school, that sucks. 2021, the Dodgers played and won a 16-inning game against the Padres. If you have any questions, please reach out to the Dodgers. Thank you, Dodgers. I love how they give themselves self-plugs for their ats, by the way, their handles. First of all, and
wrong with this shameless self-plug.
No, I as you sip from the Chop Sports mug, I love it. That was very Wayne's World of you. Like, but it's giving me a headache.
I wasn't even on video because I had that shitty graphic.
Well, anyway, that graphic was up, and that's it's so lame. First of all,
I'll do it
what
again.
Time?
Nothing
did
wrong with it.
The game ended at 1 a.m. Western time.
So it was 4 o'clock in the morning when that game ended here?
For East, yeah.
See? Another reason why Jersey sucks. It's like the East Coast. You got to deal with that shit. I had to wait till 10 o'clock to watch a preseason game the other night. That stunk.
Scoop down here says Texas started school already, so that's another reason why Texas sucks.
Yeah, but they also get out earlier. How you like that? Because it's too. They start earlier. They get out earlier. I know that for a fact. I know people down there. I got peeps.
I'd rather start later. I'd rather enjoy the summer when everyone else is.
Yeah, but then they get. Well, their spring is like gorgeous down there. You know what I'm saying? Like their spring starts in like February.
Spring is gorgeous here.
All right. I'm not gonna debate you, Texas.
I can just do a real quick synopsis of what we just did.
Sure.
All right. So the Dodgers game went way long.
Okay.
That sucked. The Dodgers fans got get out of school, get out of work notes for free. Dave wants to move to Dallas. I think New Jersey's better than Texas. AJ has an alter ego that he does on Fantasy Podcast. Locked. And
okay.
Now we're here. We're brought up to speed.
Uber Eats. Dina. That's the pick bish. Anyway, so we'll get right back into it. Sorry about that, ladies and germs. We are just, you know, like I said, stuff happens. Anyway, go, AJ.
Yes, sir.
Run me down what you got here, because this is like a lot of stuff that you wrote down. It was a very slow sports day yesterday.
Very slow.
There was a couple things that we wanted to talk about.
So Nerlens Noel, basically, he's suing Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, homeboy of LeBron, and also his agent for a $58 million potential loss in salary. This comes after Rich Paul strongly advised Nerlens Noel 2 seasons ago to take a 1-year deal with his respective team, and then when Noel got injured and made league minimum the following 2 years, Noel has finally decided to file a case.
What is he suing him for?
Because he strongly advised him to take the 1-year contract.
So he's suing him for not taking a contract?
Yes.
So basically, what? It's a non-story. The guy that's actually a lawyer is the agent in this case, and
okay.
I'm sure he's going to win.
All right. Well, that I don't even know what that is. Okay.
Very slow
that,
sports time.
What'd you say?
It's a very slow sports time.
That's fine.
When we're talking like Nerlens Noel off-the-court issues...
That's when you know
it's rough. It's been and rough. That's it. Let's just go to the Cowboys, everybody, because I'm fucking...
No, there's a couple things I want to definitely touch on.
Really?
I don't...
Besides the Cam and Teddy Bridgewater, I'm dying.
Well, first of all, not shout out, but I hope Vinny Curry's okay, man, because I actually know his first cousins and his family. As much as I don't root for the guy because he's an Eagle, blood disorder. Like, that sucks. Like, I don't even know what it's anything about. I haven't really read into it, but I hope he's okay. Dude, did Cam Newton get dogged here? Like, is there something going on? I feel like there's some kind of conspiracy going on when it comes to Cam Newton. Now, I feel bad. Like, it's almost as if the same as, like, the, what's his name? Tyrod Taylor over it when he got stabbed in the chest or whatever. Like, you basically told Cam Newton he's got to stay away for a couple days. And in those days, now everybody's blowing up on Mac Jones.
Well, first of all, I think there was a chance Mac Jones was going to start anyway.
No.
Chance.
No, but
there was a chance.
We kind of agreed that
I agree, but that doesn't mean shit. I thought Teddy Bridgewater was going to...
Yeah,
I thought Drew Locke was going to start as well. So what I think has nothing to do with it. Cam had a chance to not start anyway, and it's not actually even saying that he's not going to start. The Patriots have every right to be frustrated because, from what I understand, it was Cam Newton's doing. He just misunderstood the rules of the COVID protocol. Essentially, I guess that's what he did. He broke some type of protocol. And because he didn't understand the rules of the protocol, they told him that he has to stay away for 5 days. I don't think it's the Patriots making this call. I think it's the NFL making this call. And I guess that's what it is now. That's the landscape that we're dealing with in the NFL.
I did see something out of Cole Beasley today.
I don't feel bad for Cam because why would I? He fucked up.
Right.
Mac Jones might deserve the job because of this. He gets extra work in. But also, when we're talking about just 5 days of practice, it does suck. But really, what they're not.
But they had two joint practices, so like he had some game speed stuff.
The point that I'm making is Cam isn't really going to get entirely that much better with five more days of practice. I don't know that. I think if anything, it might have helped out the fact that you need Mac Jones to progress. So now they don't have to split the reps. So Mac Jones gets more of an opportunity. But if Mac Jones is ready this year, he's going to start. It doesn't matter when it comes. I think it's going to. That's what the deal is. If Mac Jones is ready, he's going to start. Cam is there to be who he is and bridge the gap, essentially.
Now, speaking of quarterbacks, I mean, we saw what happened yesterday with Teddy Bridgewater getting the nod. How the hell, like, here's a guy, and I sound like Collinsworth now, here's a guy, but like, here's a guy who signed for a year, you know, 1 year deal, and you're the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos now? Like, did you outperform Drew Lock that much where that's a thing? Like, played two preseason games.
Oh, I wouldn't say he has to outperform him that much. All you have to do is outperform him. That's it. Just by a little. If you're the better player by a little bit, as far as the coaches see.
I don't know, man. They got a lot of bad backlash from a lot of their fan base, you know, because now they're all calling for Drew Lock to be the guy. And
but
it's
these
like,
guys, I you might be right, and they maybe the entire fan base is right, but we're not the NFL coaches.
I know.
Sitting there, and we don't know how Drew Lock is picking up the offense. Is it a new offensive coordinator in Denver this year? I don't think it is.
No, I think it's just Fangio running the show over there. I know he's a defensive-minded coach, but still. Do you think he felt the pressure? Like, I got to make a change based off of what happened last year, that they've stunk last year. So now, like, you got to make a change to get people excited.
I think if you're in the NFL and you're coaching and you're a mediocre team, you're always feeling the pressure. Your job is always on the line unless you're winning in the NFL. So, yes, he's definitely feeling the pressure. But if he was feeling the pressure, I don't think that's the reason why he would go with a guy that's not as good. You know, like, I think that they're going with the team. With the player that gives the team the best chance to win right out of the gate, if Bridgewater is that guy, we're going to find out soon enough. The thing is, I'm sure he'll have a short leash. If Bridgewater doesn't play as well as he can, last year he had a lot of turnovers. I'm pretty sure he had too many turnovers in Carolina. That's why they bounced him out of there. Mm-hmm. But it was a new offense. We'll see. I don't know. It's but I'm not going to sit here and trash the pick or move. Because
I'm not trashing it. I find it very... abrupt. I don't know. I feel like Bridgewater was brought in to be Drew Lock's like safety haven. You know, like, all right, if I need help, I'm going to go to my backup and ask him a couple questions. He's been in the league.
You could look at it like this. They brought him in because they didn't believe in Drew Lock.
That's what I was going to ask you guys. Do you think that with him officially being the starter now, this is a big lack of a vote of confidence for Drew Lock, and that next year it's definitely a quarterback in the draft for them?
I mean, look, they were rumored to have taken a quarterback this year, you know, and then they went with PS2, you know, so I'm like...
What if Teddy Bridgewater goes out and wins 11 games? Does he get another contract? Probably.
Yeah,
more than and Bridgewater's, it's not that he's a spring chicken, like, he's been around the league, so it's not like he's, I think he's pushing his 30s, right? I mean, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple years lost because of the injury and all that stuff, it's a great story, but like, I'm trying to think to myself, like, is Drew Lock out? You know, is he, like, just like you wrote in the rundown, like, is this it for Drew Lock? If Bridgewater goes out there and balls out, wins 9, 10, 11 games, and they're competitive this year, like, what makes them go backwards and say, like, oh, you know what? This is the guy. Drew Lock's the guy instead. I'm sorry. We made a mistake. Like,
if
clearly
Bridgewater
it's
goes out there and wins games, then there's nothing. They're not going to just be like, you know what?
He becomes a trade piece. He becomes the new starting quarterback for the...
He might just be a good backup quarterback.
Give me a team that needs a starting quarterback. The Bears? No.
Denver. Just...
right, exactly.
You know, like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
That's perfect. So, anyway, sports slow day yesterday. AJ did his best to find out some of the heavier-hitting stories, and was none. What?
I said I tried, guys.
No. Yeah. You did fine. It is what it is, but you do have a rundown. AJ, I mean, you have a scoring.
Terrible work.
You have an update, right?
I do have an update.
All right, well, then we're
going
to throw it right to your update there. Chief,
all right,
go for it.
Let's go to my guy, Curtis Sells Houses, for all your realty needs, and make sure to hit up Curtis Counts, NJ Real Estate Expert. Okay, so for yesterday's slate of games, it begins with the Giants going against the Mets. The Giants are able to take care of them despite only hitting the ball 4 times. They win that game 3-2.
You remember that time that everybody was getting on the Yankees case for being 41-41, and now the Mets are finding themselves 4 games under 500? That is so That is so, like, that's so Mets. But go ahead, sorry. I don't mean to bash one team or another, but, like, come on.
The Tigers and the Cardinals go into extra innings in their game. Goldschmidt hits two home runs, and that's enough to lift them over the visiting Tigers 3-2. The Astros finally get another victory over the Kansas City Royals in extra innings 6-5. They've been skidding as of late, but looks like they're starting to somewhat right the ship. The Orioles get a big surprise win over the Angels yesterday, where Otani had a very solid lead and blew it.
Big surprise win. Not only that, they break the streak, bro. 19 games in a row they lost, and you had to see their own Twitter blow up. Like, they're like, the Orioles Twitter was like, we won. Like, that was their, that was the tweet. And I was like, that is such an impactful Twitter tweet. Go ahead.
In Baltimore, that's Baltimore. All they got to hope for. So Tampa Bay Rays and the Phillies, they go at it. Mejia hits a 3-run bomb, and that's enough to lift them over Philly.
They don't lose.
7-4. Yeah.
They don't lose. They don't, it's lose. Like, insane. Really, like, that's why the 4.5 lead just doesn't dwindle. We're on an 11-game winning streak as a Yankees. We can't make up any ground.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Robbie Ray starts for the Blue Jays yesterday and strikes out 14 batters. That's good enough to land the Blue Jays with a 3-1 victory over the White Sox. Let's go to Boston, where the Twins have a nice upset over the Red Sox 9-6. The Indians going against the Texas Rangers. Pretty quiet game. That's 7-2. And the Brewers and the Reds have another divisional rivalry game, but the Brewers yet again come up victorious. Woodruff looks dominant and fans 10. Last game of the day, I mean, I really just want to apologize to all the West Coast people. Must be rough staying up till 1 a.m. for a sporting event. The Dodgers win that one 5-3 in the 16th inning. That's pretty crazy with with a guy on base every single inning.
Yeah, considering that rule was designed to speed up the game. And then, like, this is, to me, this is poetic. This is poetic to the MLB. Like, go screw yourself with this stupid rule. We're still going to make you wait. And shout out to Kyle Kerms, because he's the one who said, raise your hand if he stayed up. He stayed up the entire time. Like, I remember going to bed at 12 and then waking up at 4, like, just because of back pain or whatever, you know, like, just hurting. And looking at Twitter and seeing people interact about the Dodgers. And I'm like, wait, it's still on? Like, this is insane. So, shout out to the Dodgers for weathering that storm. Yeah, so good job, AJ, on the update. And, of course, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, and our 32 teams and 32-day coverage. First, we're going to pay some bills. And, yeah, we'll be back after this.
There is nothing on my person that I care more about than my hair and beard. It's the moneymaker. I need it mint. The only person I trust right now is John over at Main Street Barbershop in Metuchen. John has been at this game for 7 years and offers premier haircuts, complete bald head shaves, shape-ups, beard trims, the works. You can follow Main Street Barbershop on Instagram at MainStreetBarber_Metuchen, and you can book an appointment by downloading the Booksy app or call John directly at 732-569-2592. Tell him Chop Sports sent you.
All right, welcome back. Hey, yeah, listen. For all you people checking out chopsports.shop today, be sure to know that today or yesterday we started free shipping. So that's a big, big thing for our shop. Either go support some of these NIL guys, some of our Chop athletes, or we got a Jets shirt, a Bills shirt. We got more stuff on the way. We got some Chop merchandise. We got some Packers stuff, Cowboys stuff related to my other podcast. Like, there's plenty of stuff out there. I will shout out Scoop. He said that to just actually see what happened in the Dodgers game. They balked the runner to third when Tatis was up, so he didn't steal the signs, and he hit a home run anyway. Like, Tatis is that guy, man. He's so good. But anyway, it is time to cover the Dallas Cowboys. I hope there's Dallas Cowboys out there, people listening right now live as we get into this, because I know Gooch will probably chew up everything I say, and that's fine and dandy.
Chew it up. I'll be
okay. But anyway, this segment, 32 teams in 32 days, is brought to you by Absolute Eyewear. Be sure to go check out Craig and Janine over at Absolute Eyewear on Main Street in New Jersey for all your glasses needs, because Lord knows I need one badly. We're just kicking stuff over now.
I'm making room, bro. Oh, okay. Making room for myself. All right. I got the couch so I could get comfortable. Mm-hmm. That's just what I'm going to do.
Okay, do that. But go check them out. If you say the key phrase, Chop Sports, to Craig or Janine over at Main Street, it is on Main Street, over at Absolute Eyewear, they'll give you $100 off. That's $100.
I guessed through my livery yesterday. I heard you do it a couple times, and I've heard Jimmy do it 20. And I still was like, what is it? And I just guessed through it, and when I listened back,
and you nailed it.
I got it.
Nailed it. Well, you heard it enough. It's like repetition. But yeah, please go check out those guys. Support Absolute Eyewear, one of our bigger sponsors and advertisers, because they keep coming back. You know, like we do the, let's call a spade, we do terms with these people, and these guys have re-upped with us because they believe in us and they believe in Chop Sports. So shout out to Craig and Janine, two of my favorite people. Haven't met Craig yet, but he's my favorite person anyway. All right, so the Dallas Cowboys come into town. Now, they were supposed to be red yesterday, but these boys did me a favor and skipped over them and talked about the defending division champion Washington football team.
They were supposed to be red.
Oh, 3 days ago. You're right.
Two days ago.
Yeah, they finished third.
They were actually way worse than David thought, and they finished third.
No. They fit the same record as the Giants at 6-10, but they finished with tiebreakers. They were behind them. But anyway, here we are. So there's obvious questions about the Dallas Cowboys because of the constant hype that the Dallas Cowboys get year in and year out, whether it be like, oh, this is the year or whatever. You know, it's been 26 now, so I haven't seen a Super Bowl since I was 10, so it's been a long time, and I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. If you didn't know that by now, you've been living under a goddamn rock for 6 months or 8 months at this point. But now you start at the top of what they do as a franchise, and that's Jerry Jones, and he's way too heavily involved in the franchise when it comes to
doing great.
No, when it comes to talent acquisition, we don't really go deep into the free agency pool, have you? It's always drafting, and I think the Dallas Cowboys this year in particular drafted well again. This team drafts well. They definitely draft well. It's just that according to guys like Kyle Kerms or whatever who have ripped on all the second contracts, that's where these guys have really put themselves in a position to not succeed going forward. And the window is very tiny because these contracts are heavy and they're front loaded. And, you know, this is what happens. You no longer have room to make any actual you know, acquisitions. So we start at the top, and it starts with Mr., you know, long awaited contract extension for Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is backed up by Garrett Gilbert, Cooper Rush, Ben DiNucci. Hopefully Ben DiNucci finds himself a plane ticket out of Dallas before the end of the preseason. But I will say this. There's a cause for concern, according to this rundown, the shoulder for Dak Prescott. I'm here to tell you that yesterday at practice, Dak Prescott was able to do all the 11-on-11s and 7-on-7s, and people are starting to see that there's a competitive pop to his throw now, and there's no problem.
Competitive pop.
Yes.
That's a new one. I don't think I've ever heard of
Zeke Elliott said there's some pop to his throws.
Competitive pop.
Well, there's competitive throw, so I combined them, actually. Right. That's my word. Competitive pop to the throws by Dak Prescott. Now, I will say this. He's coming off a nasty, nasty ankle injury. And shout out to the guy who claims to be a Cowboys fan on Chop Sports but posted the crate challenge with Dak Prescott falling off the crates, breaking his ankle.
The funnier one was nothing to do with Dak. It had a big, heavy dude climbing up the crates, and he got to the top crate, and he was just... I don't know if it was Kyle that posted that.
I don't know.
It said, Dallas Cowboys going down the middle crate, and then it said playoffs on the next one.
Ah, okay.
Just couldn't quite make it off that top crate.
That's fine.
Couldn't quite get there.
Yeah, well, I will say this. First of all, thank God these kids are doing these crate things. This is a lot of physical damage if you're falling off the top, but this is way better than your generation, AJ, swallowing Tide Pods. So I think this is definitely better in that regard.
I think that's a little younger than my generation. I didn't eat no fucking Tide Pods.
All right, well, that's good. Yeah. That's why you're here. So, you know, no death, no Tide Pods. All right, so starting at the top, Dak Prescott. I know that me and Gooch have our differences of where we would put this guy as far as in the league. I find him to be a top five quarterback in football. I know you don't. AJ has already went on record saying a lot of his stats are inflated, in which that is an accurate statistic considering the fact that the Dallas Cowboy defense is so abysmal that it's a lot of comeback time for the Dallas Cowboys. So a lot of those stats are, yeah, Dina, nice, better than Tide Pods. But anyway, so Dallas Cowboys start at the top with Dak Prescott. With Dak Prescott as your quarterback, this makes you automatically the favorite in the division. I think it's a quarterback-driven league. He's the best quarterback in the NFC East. Agree, Gooch?
He's the best quarterback.
In the NFC East?
In the NFC East.
Okay. What are you thinking about?
I was just going through them really quick in my head. There's
Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I wouldn't say that they're the favorites to win the division, though.
All right. Well, because I heard you yesterday.
What actually are they? Based on Vegas, like there is odds on.
Oh, to win the division, so they're the leader. They
out of
are.
Curiosity, like for a fact,
I believe they 100%. Are the leaders, and I think they're well, minus 235.
They are the favorites to win the division.
Question that I'm even able to answer. Because I'm a, there is, It's not an opinion-based thing.
Right. So with Dak Prescott at the helm, they're the favorites to win the NFC East.
Oh, that phone up on the screen is brutal.
What? I didn't even see it. I wasn't looking. Oh, he had it right in front?
Yeah, sorry.
All right. So, man, I'm saying anyway again a lot.
Anyway.
Thank you. So you do it. Is Zeke back is the next question on this rundown as he leads the running back room here with Tony Pollard, Jaquan Hardy, and Brandon Knox. Knox is probably going to get cut. Hardy has a chance. If you've seen Hard Knocks, there was a little feature on him about his goggles wearing. He's got the Dickerson look going on right now because he, you know, lost the contact and he almost lost the job based off the contact because he had a ball hit him right in the hands in the preseason and just dropped it. But Zeke, I'm a Zeke apologist. I think that Zeke Elliott was in a very bad situation last year. Due to the fact that Dak was gone, due to the fact that the entire offensive line rotated like 15 different combinations, there was a lot of things working against Ezekiel Elliott, including all of a sudden a fumbling issue that nobody really ever seen, not even in college. You know, it was never a thing. I think he has a fantastic bounce back year. That's just me. With a healthy Dak and a healthy offensive line, and now the receivers, Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup, being the guys on the outside and a decent 1-2 tight end punch, not great, but decent, that you can't stack the box anymore against Zeke Elliott. You can't do it, right? You in agreement there?
Yeah, I agree. Their offense is really good through and through. Their offensive line is above average, potentially being really good, elite. Their receiving is elite, obviously. CeeDee Lamb has the potential to be a top 10, if not better, this year. So I agree with that. I think Amari Cooper, one of the worst contracts in football, but he is a really good receiver.
He's making $20 million a year.
Really good receiver. I think Zeke is overpaid as well, but the Packers just overpaid for a running back too, so I can't really talk shit there. The offense is really good. You know my issue is not just their defense, but it's also their head coach. I think that's the problem. Dallas Cowboys have Mike McCarthy, and I've experienced damn near 15 years of hell with that bum.
All right. Well,
I always have to refrain.
Yes, you do. You don't want to shame anybody, right?
Because Dave got so mad at Skip. I don't want Dave to get mad at me and he'll do an aside.
You know what though? If you said something, I'll laugh, right? Because I think anything, like most of the things you say are funny. So
and
like,
my
I laugh.
Reach isn't ESPN's
correct when you're a
FS1's
national
reach.
Personality like Skip Bayless is, and he says something like that as a reason why he's not a good that he wouldn't want him as a head coach. You just call him one way because that's the way you see him.
I don't like him from past experience. I don't want
that's
him
like
to
Andy
be my
Reid.
Head coach.
Andy Reid won't be a good coach.
I don't give a shit what my head coach looks like. I want him to call good plays.
Correct.
That's it.
Just right.
Call good plays, bro.
So offensive line is back.
Call
and healthy.
Timeouts when you need to fucking call timeout.
Yes. His game clock management last year was questionable. The ineffectiveness to even review a play against the Giants in a game where you could have made the playoffs if you won, that bugs me a little bit. But again, I can't go down that road because the Eagles won anyway. So I would have been so much more angry if the Eagles did what they did and the Cowboys won. So all we needed was an Eagle win, you know, and they just mailed it in, you know. I would have been very upset. But yeah, switching over to the defense, that's where the team seems to catch the most criticism. Their defensive line, Neville Gallimore was one of their prominent defensive tackles. He's lost for a couple weeks. He'll be back soon. They did pick up Carlos Watkins from the Texans. However, when you look at that, the Texans had the 32nd worst run defense. So how am I supposed to get excited about that? But behind him, Brent Urban, Osa, I'm not even going to say his last name, because Ogedezawa, I don't know. I messed it up, but we called him 007. We said that he should have definitely, since the you can now choose any number you want, he should have been 7. He's got 00 and a 7. Like 007 would have been the most marketable thing.
What position? Linebacker?
Defensive tackle.
Oh, no. Defensive tackles, I don't think could pick any number.
Is it just the secondary and skill positions?
They just expanded on the numbers that certain position players could pick. I think it'd be 40s maybe.
The one thing I will say about this Dallas Cowboys defensive line is there are a couple guys that they signed, you know, the Terrell Bashams of the world. He's whatever. Dorrance Armstrong started to come on a little bit in the preseason. I wouldn't get too crazy about that. He's been like Jerry Jones's pet cat for whatever reason, meaning like he's on the team. Nobody knows why.
Shout out to my pet cat, Bertallo.
Yeah, shout out to my pet cats, Dez and Ellie.
Bertallo, stop fucking scratching my legs, though.
Bro. Bradley and I is their third string. I really hope that kid makes the team. Randy Gregory is a big story to me because Randy Gregory seems to be one of, if not the best defensive lineman on this team, skill-wise. Randy Gregory. DeMarcus Lawrence is obviously the highest touted, highest paid. Everybody loves him. You know, as Cowboy fans, we love him. But now, like Randy Gregory, we haven't had him for a full season ever. You know, ever.
and because of what marijuana was still punishable. And so we kept losing them for 6 games here, 5 games here, whatever the case may be. We have them for a full season. I think that's the defensive line from the edges are going to be good. Interior, that's where they need work. You know, you can't lose guys. You can't be the worst at what you did last year, add the people, and then lose those people. You know what I mean? So it still might be a piss-poor run defense. But that defense gets pushed back so easily, that's what affects the linebacking play. And the linebackers are led by, obviously, what we all know of, Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, and those are the two guys that have been there forever. But then in the draft, you add a Micah Parsons from Penn State, and then you add Keanu Neal and convert him to a linebacker, and then you add a Jabril Cox from LSU. So they definitely addressed a position of need, and when I say need, they needed this. They absolutely needed this because Jalen Smith, and I've said it a million times off across a million platforms, I don't feel like his lateral movement's any good anymore. I think the injury that he suffered in college is really starting to show, and it's starting to show in his production of play. You can't that kind of injury, like the story is great. The way the Dallas Cowboys took a chance on him, awesome. But you did waste the second round pick, and he did ball out a couple times where you're like, oh, that could be Jalen. But I don't feel like Jalen is Jalen. I really don't. But the another problem is the secondary. I know I'm taking over. I'm hogging this podcast right now.
I was about to just start a side conversation with AJ. What the fuck are we doing here?
But I mean, look, all right. So linebackers wise, when you see
Parsons is a Hall of Famer.
But
no, honestly, I do like Micah Parsons. I'm a Penn State guy. I wish I didn't see a certain side of his personality that he was definitely playing up for the camera, which I'm not really able to do yet. I'm going to start getting better at playing up to the camera. But, yeah, I don't buy into all the lion is always hungry. Shut up, bro. You know you're on camera. Just go do your job. You're a rookie. Go be a rookie. Carry someone's pads and go make tackles and then prove it on the field. But, yeah, their defense stinks, Dave. That's my take. I think that they have a decent defensive line. They have potential with Micah Parsons. But, like you said, they're not really great up the middle. So he's going to have some hats on him a little bit.
Yeah, that's the problem. I would say.
And you know my feelings on their secondary. I think that's where it all comes apart.
Secondary was a trial by fire last year. Trayvon Diggs was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in the second round. He was kind of thrown in there as a cornerback two when we still had Chidobe Awuzie, and we let him walk to Cincinnati. How you let anybody walk when you're bad, I guess maybe because it's going to be a culture change. Now Dan Quinn comes in as the defensive coordinator. I think that makes a world of a difference. Then this guy's the creator of the Legion of Boom, and I know that was years ago, and it doesn't really matter now because you can't really boom anybody because of the rules of the game. But now these guys are fitting the mold of one Dan Quinn. So what I mean by that, tall, lanky, can get up and get a ball. So whether they come down with it, that's not my problem.
The difference between the Dallas Cowboys defense now and the Dan Quinn ran Legion of Boom was Cam Chancellor.
Correct. And now he's hoping that Richard drafting Sherman, other guys and adding guys
it's
could be
a
the
work
next.
In progress. The problem that I see is, now I agree, now maybe a year or two down the line, but you said earlier the window is small because of the contracts on offense. So you hate to see it, but this is kind of what happens when you build one side of the ball. You got all this money on offense, and you got to now start spending some money on defense or do it through the draft.
They've tried to do it through the draft. I mean, they've drafted Kelvin Joseph. They drafted a couple guys, Nayshon Wright. Reggie Robinson went to IR, so he's toast. But they have guys. And look, I think this goes to show for everybody who's a fan of any team, you're going to know more about your team and think highly of your team in positions that nobody else knows.
You would never get that impression hearing you talk about the Cowboys. It's crazy that Dave says that. Basically, I don't think AJ thinks highly of the Jets.
But basically what I'm saying is this. Like, if we're talking about the Packers, which we will. We'll get to the Packers eventually. But when we talk about the Packers, you're going to tell me about guys that I have never heard of before. But you know that they're good. But the world doesn't know that they're good yet. So that's where I'm talking about Jabril Cox. Rookie could be good. The world's going to find out quick. He might be exposed,
That's
right.
I've seen that. It's very often where you're high on a guy because he's your guy, and then he's just correct. Not really the guy.
Correct. And the way I see it, the Dallas Cowboys have themselves a lot of prove it now players. It starts at the top. Dak Prescott, still as much games as he won, he has a very nice winning percentage as a starting quarterback, but he hasn't really done anything, So you hope that this is the year to do it if you're a Cowboys fan. If you're not, then you're hoping that they continue to fail. That's fine. So bring up their schedule there, AJ, because we'll run through how they're going to go 17-0, and we'll figure that out. Look at, oh, Jesus, what did you do here? That is just, that's brutal.
That is your schedule from the Dallas Cowboys website.
There could have been so many better ones, but I'll look at their schedule over here on my computer. So anyway, I have gone on record a million times. In fact, a tweet that I sent out today at Dave Sturgio, if you want to follow me on Twitter. I said it's 2 weeks away.
I changed my Twitter handle, by the way.
Did you? To what?
Content Chris. Content underscore Chris. I just feel like the Chop Sports Chris was corny.
Okay.
I'm sure this one is also corny, but but I had to make a change because it just didn't look right to me.
You should put your whole name. You're a person. Yeah, Chris Gucci.
But the thing is, nobody knows how to pronounce my last name.
Doesn't matter.
So when I put it up there and they don't, it's just, I don't know.
No, you'd be like, hey, you can follow me at Chris Gucci. That's G-U-E-C-I or whatever. I just said it wrong. But
no, you said it right.
Hey, see, that's what happens when I see you every day for
content
fucking
Chris it is, Dave.
All right.
Now it forces my hand. I have to put out content.
Now you do.
Which I don't do often.
I've been saying it, and I put out a tweet today that we're 2 weeks away from the Dallas Cowboys beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Thursday Night Football. I think that's going to happen. I really do. And I think, unfortunately, with that take, you are going to get a lot worse of Cowboy fans to come out of the woodwork after they beat Tampa Bay. If they beat Tampa Bay on Thursday night, opening night, you're going to see the Weed M Boys people. You're going to see, you know, the people that just...
That is the most cringe. Weed M Boys is the most cringe thing. It's,
I mean, it
was
it
good
is what
for
it
that
is.
One season, but like now when I see somebody post Weed M Boys, I'm like, oh my God.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
This ain't
but
happening anymore.
What I will say is that we're probably, my guesstimation is that we beat Tampa Bay.
It's probably how people feel about me when I do like the Aaron Rodgers.
That's funny though.
Check.
I think that's pretty cool.
I don't
cool.
really do that.
No,
much.
Thank God. But what I think is going to happen is this. The Dallas Cowboys will start and beat Tampa Bay. In Tampa Bay, they raise their banner for the Super Bowl somehow, some way. They get a win. With a Brady throw, like strip sacked or something like that at the end, where it's going to be like, oh my God, people are going to get really excited about the Dallas Cowboys. That's the problem. You get overhyped, you get excited. And I think next week, week two, they lose to the Los Angeles Chargers, to Justin Herbert. For whatever reason, balls out at home in LA, whatever the case may be. It's just not a good look. Their home opener doesn't come until September 27th, in which your boy Sturge will actually be in attendance. I'm going to fly down to Dallas on Saturday night, Saturday day, hang out with Brett Ernst at his comedy show, go watch some Sunday football. I'm definitely going to tune into the Sunday show to see how things are being run around here where I'm not around, which is probably going to be fine. like the whole place was set up before I walked in today, so I know that things are going to be good. But anyway, ESPN, Monday Night Football, they open their schedule against Philadelphia. And then Carolina, New York, New England. The Dallas Cowboys have to, if they want to have a good year, they have to start off 4-2. That's how I think the Dallas Cowboys have to start off to have a good year. And the wins coming at Tampa, versus Philadelphia, versus Carolina, versus New York, and then probably lose to New England in New England. So 4-2 start for the Dallas Cowboys. How do you have it, Chris?
You're talking about before the bye week?
Yeah, before their bye, which is on week 7.
I'll go 3-3.
Okay, so you'll split the difference. All right, so then when they come off a bye, statistically and historically, teams that come off a bye are relatively good, rested, prepared. They got the Vikings that day on NBC at Sunday Night Football on Halloween night. I think they get that win.
I think Dallas' schedule is really easy.
Yes, that's why actually. It is. And then Denver and Atlanta, you know what I mean? So that's, to me, that's 5-2. That's going to be 6-2 after 8. You know, for me at least, 6-2 after 8, but then it gets to Kansas City. In Kansas City, forget it. You know, just that offense is too high-powered for now. Now, as the team gets gels down the line, I think that could be a different story. We'll see. That's how it plays out. So 6-3, Vegas on Thanksgiving. I feel like they'll get that win there. At New Orleans, I said at New Orleans was going to be the New Orleans team is not going to be as good, despite the fact that Jameis Winston looks like an all-pro in his preseason game. But I'm finding wins here and there. Washington, I'll split with the Giants. I will split with the Giants because why not? You know, they've disappointed me enough when I go to games in New York. They get split with the Giants. But then the back end of their schedule is Arizona and at Philly. And if they split that, right, you're looking at, for my prediction for the Dallas Cowboys, is 11-6. I think that sounds...
More modest than I thought you were going to approach the situation.
No. They're going to lose games.
What's the over-under?
The over-under is 9.5. So I'm taking the over, and I've taken it on the toast, the sauce with the toast.
I'm going to stick with my under.
So Cowboys won't find 9 wins.
No.
Well, then maybe they fill nine and eight.
Nine.
So you have 9 and 8.
And that
eight
might
Dallas
be good enough to get it done in that division.
Could possibly. I mean, what did you have? I didn't get to the end. What did you have the Washington football team finishing wins-wise? Do you know?
Probably the same thing.
I don't
think we both had 9 and 8.
All right, so it's, so it's going to come down to a tiebreaker of sorts. Do you think? I think they win the division by 2 games. Because I believe in that Redskins, Washington football team defense. I just don't believe in that offense as good as they are. Gibson's good. But I didn't get the chance to talk about this.
Basically, the Redskins and the Cowboys have an identical schedule, so they're not really, they're in the same boat. There's a lot of winnable games on this schedule.
AJ, what do you,
some teams that we have to see how they're going to be. I think the Saints are going to be better than you think.
Okay.
You know,
and that game's in New Orleans, which is always more difficult, but you know, we'll see. AJ, Dallas Cowboys.
9-8.
9-8 for you. So I'm the only schmuck that has them with real successful season.
It's really hard because I'm between 9 and 10, but I don't know.
The Cowboys are one of the teams that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. It's like 9.5 is pretty spot on with the over under. They have a really good offense, but when things don't go well, if they don't go well early, an injury or two, you know how that how that goes. I'm not going to sit here and we're pretending like nobody gets hurt.
Correct.
On the team.
Yeah,
right?
I know. And their offensive line, look, the big tree fall hard. They have a lot of big guys that will get hurt periodically, and their backups right now are not good. So I will not say the Dallas Cowboys have any depth on the offensive line except for Connor McGovern, who's apparently been in trade talks with a couple teams that were trying to trade for him, considering the fact that he's on our bench. But, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, this is a team where I think I think that given the situation, I think that Dak Prescott has an MVP-type caliber year. I really do. Or at the very least, he wins Comeback Player of the Year.
I'm going to say that might happen, Comeback Player of the Year. I'd have to look at, like, the actual candidates going into the year before. There might be somebody that's, like, even if he plays 3 snaps, he's going to get it.
Like, well,
like they did with Alex Smith.
Would McCaffrey count as that? Yeah. Because of an injury? And Saquon, right? So yeah, that's so there's, possible.
There's,
you're
there's
right.
There's a pretty loaded list of guys.
All right.
But I don't even know what the fuck I was just saying.
I said Dak Prescott could be in MVP talks.
No, they're not going to win enough games.
Okay.
But I do agree his numbers, his counting stats might be there. But if I'm saying 9-8, then I can't agree with that. He'll be in the MVP conversation because there's going to be a ton of quarterbacks that have 13 wins.
Fair. Things very like fair. That.
If they could win 13 games.
This went a lot better than I thought. Like, I thought for sure you're going to just roast them and say that they're going to suck.
No. I mean, like, Dak is a top 4 fantasy contributor at the quarterback position. Dak is a solid player. I have nothing against Dak. I just don't put him above guys like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Okay.
Like you do.
All right. But yeah, so there is your 2021 Dallas Cowboys preview for the year. And that will actually, it's now time to pick a division winner because we've done all 4 teams. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC East.
Obviously, you already know I'm taking the football team.
Washington football team. And now, considering the fact that you have them at 9-8, AJ, and you have the Washington football team at 9-8, and you have the Eagles just, you know, falling off the face of the earth, and the Giants not really improving too much, who comes out of the NFC East? Your job depends on it. I'm kidding. Go ahead. What is it? Now he's like, fuck.
I think the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
That was the biggest pussy answer I ever heard in my life.
I'm buying you lunch today, AJ.
Why?
It's your turn to buy fucking lunch. So
Why did you have to say that?
The reason why I'm saying it's the pussy pick is because, honestly, I don't think that you actually believe that. Or you
He debated.
Because
he
you
sat
picked
there
them, you put them both at the same record.
I think I more so want the Dallas Cowboys to lose the division to the Washington football team. But what I actually is that they will.
Now, let's put a pause on that and say why. Do you have a personal gripe against the Cowboys? Honest speaking, before knowing me, like before you
no,
even met
not
me,
before knowing you.
So now because I talk too much about him, you hate him.
Almost.
That is amazing. Which is why I said that's
AJ,
a pussy reason.
That is the most honest thing you've said since you've been here.
Are you still buying him lunch?
Debatable. I might throw him a couple shackles, but that's hilarious. Like, based off of, like, I've heard about the Dallas Cowboys so much, I fucking hate them now.
Fairly confident that the way I see them playing out this year is gonna happen. The
I coach think
sucks,
if I had,
lose close games,
we're only one division deep on the NFC. But I feel like with an 11-6 record, that won't get the bye. It's a 1-seed bye, and I think that's going to go to the Green Bay Packers. Like, and that's just the way I see it.
The Packers, the Rams.
The Packers, the Rams. I mean, we'll talk about it as we go. But I think the Cowboys, you know, to host a playoff game in the wild card round, get that win, you know, get that under your belt, and then it's anybody's game. When you get to that division round, even if you have to go on the road, and because of their 11-6 record, I don't think Green Bay will be the destination in the second round. I think the Green Bay will take on whichever one spoils the wild card weekend because that's the team they'll get. But then if the Dallas Cowboys can just win one game on the road, they could potentially host the NFC Championship game or go to Green Bay. And then that's when Chop Sports completely shuts down and we just close up shop forever.
No, they would have to win two games.
That's what I just said.
You said one on the road.
And well, one on the road. They would play the wild card and then win one on the road, and then they would go to Green Bay. But anyway, I can't go too crazy. The defense has to show me something. The defense has to finish middle of the pack. I've been saying it forever. I'll beat that dead horse until...
you're not going to bang the dead horse?
No, I'm just beating dead horses today. But that's where I got them. I got the Dallas Cowboys 11-6, winning the NFC East at the very least, and being a representative in the NFC Championship game if the defense can play... Top 15, top 16 overall rank. That's where I got it. So,
okay, fair.
With that being said, it has been another banger of an episode. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. That will be resolved by tomorrow. So if you're subscribing to the network, be sure to check out all of our shows. We're making some big moves today as far as just, you know, getting this place ready to go for football Sundays. We're gearing up for what could be our come out party. And now, actually... 1 week from today, and we'll make this announcement now. We'll promote it a little heavier. 1 week from today, it is the 26th, so yes, 7 days. Yes. We will be in New Brunswick, New Jersey for the Rutgers home opener to support some of our NIL CHOP athletes, Mike Tverdoff, Ireland Burke, you know, Aaron Lewis, who else?
Motore,
Juice, Cedric Pallant, you know, we also, and Paz, obviously, is a wrestler, but he might be there. Who knows?
I guess we got Jordan Thompson.
Jordan Thompson, we haven't really done much for yet because we haven't talked to him. He's one of us. He's a freshman,
so he's kind of waiting on some pictures.
Cool. So we'll be there next week. Come tailgate. Come pick up a new koozie. Come pick up some really cool merchandise. We'll be there. Me, Gooch, AJ, Ashmere Fit.
Also, if you go online and you go to buy a yellow parking pass, don't buy it for the wrong game.
Side note, I bought a parking pass for the Wisconsin game instead of this week's or next week's home opener. I'm an idiot. I paid all this money for it. Will I use it? More than likely, yes. Jimmy said to hold on to it. He might buy it off me. But yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get to November because that's what it is. So for Sturch and Gooch on the couch, and of course, our intern, the production man himself, AJ Bascone. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys on a Feel Good Friday. I'm still calling it Feel Good Friday because that's what we can do.
That's the close? Just a bunch of farts.
Okay.